Good morning, my Hope Mart family in Tasmania. You are enjoying your fellowship right now. I don't know if you are doing the social distancing or wearing masks, but here in Melbourne, we are still in our lockdown. But I know that you are enjoying this time that you can see each other, bump in, or talk with each other. But for us, we are still doing the online service. So you are so blessed because you are doing maybe a normal thing. I don't know how I wish we can travel there. But since I'm from Victoria or Melbourne, maybe off limits for us to go there. So, but with what we have right now, the technology that we have, I'm so thankful that we can be with each other. And I want to say good to see you, or maybe I hope you will say good to see you, Jim. But it is so good to be part of your Sunday morning. And what we would like to do this morning is, I just want to encourage you, as we here in Melbourne, maybe you are wishing, hey, we want to encourage you as well there in Melbourne. But right now, we are here. I'm here with my friend here in a church building because we would like to deliver to you the Word of God, the Word of encouragement, even in this time of pandemic. And we are here just to pause for a while and think about the goodness, the greatness of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and to us who are followers of the Lord Jesus. And I know and I am confident that there is a message of encouragement for you and for me in this very hour. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer and we'll go to the Word of God. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege that you have given us to be together this morning for the study of your word, to fellowship with you, even to be part of my brothers and sisters in Hobart. Thank you so much, Father, for the privilege that you have given me to deliver your word. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher, that through me you will be able, Father, that you will give me the wisdom and also the clarity so that I can impart your word to them, that all of us will be built up and all of us, that our faith will be strengthened, that our life in Christ will continue to shine brighter each day. Once again, Father, we ask for your blessing. We ask for your favor. For your name's sake, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So this morning, I'm assigned by Brother Paul to share to you about 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 25. So what I will do is I'm going to read to you this verses, and as I read this, I would like to explain something along the way, and then later on we're going to focus on the points that I would like to convey to you in terms of being an obedient children of God. So, okay, so let's start in verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter continues in saying, he said, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners," and maybe it was explained to you already that this is not for international students or for those who are visiting Australia or visiting tourists. But this is about us pertaining to the Christians, that we are temporary residents or foreigners in this world. This world is not our home. We're just passing through, as the hymn said, because we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and we are here on a mission. It's a temporary gig, or it's a temporary opportunity for us to be a shining light for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are on a mission. And Peter is encouraging them by saying that you are temporary. You are experiencing hardship, difficulties in life, but this is only temporary. That you foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage wars against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior, and they will give honor to God when He judges the world. So basically, Peter is just reminding them that since you are, even though you are temporary residents here in this world, you are foreigners in this world, you need to show. That's why I said you are a man or woman on a mission. You have a mission to show to them that you are different. Not different in a crazy way, but different in a sense that it is good, different, being different. So here Peter is saying to them, giving them the warning or maybe an exhortation that you need to be different so that people will be attractive to you. Just like what Jesus said, that you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth. We should be different. We should be attractive to the world around us. Not the world is attracting us, but we are the one attracting, influencing the world around us. So in this, my goal in this study is for you and I to be encouraged and to be challenged to show our love and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I continue, in verse 13, it says, Peter said, "For the Lord's sake, respect all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials he appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable life should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free. You are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone and love your Christian brothers and sisters. Fear God and respect the king. You are slaves. You who are slaves must accept the authority of your masters with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind or reasonable, but even if they are cruel. For God is pleased with you when you do what you know is right and patiently endure an unfair treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered. And just as Christ has suffered for you, He is your example. He is our example. And you must follow Him in His steps. In verse 22, He never sinned, nor ever deceived everyone or anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threatened revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls." So it's a bit long reading, and also with the time that we have, I just want to focus on the ABCD of being a Christian or obedient, being obedient Christian. So with this, we have seen how Peter has encouraged or giving this exhortation to his fellow sojourners or fellow brothers and sisters in this in his time. And we can see that there are four charges or four commands regarding the text that we're going to study. And I would like to focus on this in verse 17, because this will be the focus of this will be the focus of this command, or for us to be an obedient children of God. In verse 17, it says, respect everyone and love your Christian brothers and sisters. Fear God and respect the King. With this, the ABCD of Christian life, of an obedient Christian life. There are four commands here that we need to be reminded, especially as we focus in verse 17. The first command here is for us to respect everyone. And by the way, I just want us to be reminded as well in verse 13 when Peter said, for the Lord's sake, we are doing this not to please men, but to please God. We are here to please God above all else. So that's why the first command here that you and I, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, should do. First, act with respect to everyone. We need to act with respect to everyone. He said, respect everyone. For the Lord's sake, we have to respect everyone. Even though the first point here when Peter is saying submit to all human authority, I've chosen this point because I believe that we have this duty to show respect to everyone. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said in the Sermon on the Mount, that he said, do to others the things that you want them to do to you. And I know that you and I want to be respected. And sometimes if you are just focusing on, I want to respect the authority, I just want to obey the authority. But if the authority or the policeman or any government officials are not around, I'll just do my own thing. Especially right now when you are driving and you are looking if someone is watching you. If no one is watching, maybe you will think, oh, it's okay for me to go through the red light. But if we are being reminded that we need to respect everyone, it's not just obeying the law. It is treating others with respect. Treating others that you are not better than them, that you are equal. We are all equal. Because if we have that kind of attitude, as we are commanded to respect everyone, we have this idea, we have this desire in our hearts to please God. That's why I'm respecting you, even though you are not my brother. And that's a challenge for us as we want to follow the Lord and as we want to reach out those who are not yet a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we will impose our religion, our doctrine. No, this is what... But if we will show them that we respect them, I believe that they will open up, that they will also give respect to you. I remember the saying that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So that's why the first point of us as obedient children of God is we need to show that our respect will be different than the world's respect. Because for the world, it seems that there's always a catch why they are treating you well. But for us, we are treating them for the Lord's sake. And the second thing, the second command here as obedient children that we need to obey God is this. We need to begin to love at home. Right, because it says in verse 17, when Peter said, respect everyone and love your Christian family. He said here with this distinction that love your Christian brothers and sisters pertaining to the family of God. We need to start loving each other first before loving other people. And I'm telling my kids over and over again that you need to show your love to each other, because I don't think it will be good if you will just love your friends but you don't love your brothers or your sisters. Even with us, as Christians, our love must be different from the world. Just like what Jesus said, how is it different from you if you love those who love you? And we are called to love first our own brothers and sisters. And I'll never forget when it's our first time to go there in Hobart with Pinky. And it seems that only a few Filipinos are there, and we are the minority. And I feel like, okay, they're white and I'm brown. And it seems I don't feel that distinction the way you show your love to us when we were there. That's why we fall in love every time we go there, and we feel as part of the family. We don't see any distinction of white or brown or black. And that's a distinction of a Christian, our love. People will know the way we love each other. I remember one time when someone said, "Hey Jim, what if there is this guy outside, or a non-Christian, who was offended by the Christian?" And he said this, that how are you going to show that you care for this brother and also for this unbeliever? And I said, I would like to treat them fairly. But first of all, I would like to show that I care for both of them. But above all, I would like to show to my brothers or my sister that I love them, that my love is greater than my love for for the unbeliever. Because what I would like to do is to show that my love for my brother or for my sister is my priority, so that the unbelieving world, the people outside of the family of God, will see that we are loving each other. Why? What do I mean by this? What I mean is that other Christians or churches are known that they are biting each other, that they are, instead of loving each other, we are known, or they are known, for quarreling or giving trouble to each other instead of helping each other. And I do believe in first century Christians, they are known by their love. That's why people are attracted to this first century Christian. And that's a unique thing about hope, because in hope we can sense your love for your fellow brothers and sisters. And we can see here that not only that we need to act respectfully to each one, or to begin our love with each other, because in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it says, Paul said to Timothy that, "But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers." That's why we need to exemplify in showing our love first in our family and then beyond. The third command here for us is this: we need to continue to love God. Why did I say continue to love God? Peter continues in saying, respect everyone and love your Christian brothers and sisters. And then he said, fear God. Because when I say continue to love God, it means that our love must grow, will keep on growing and growing. Because God's love for you and me is already perfect, but our love for Him is growing. When we see the word fear God, it's not being afraid, being scared of God, of His word. Having the fear of God is having this reverence, having this respect to Him, treating Him of who He is. That's why we worship God, because He is worthy of our praise, worthy of our lives, of our all. That's why when we were looking at this, that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So I encourage you to continue to love God. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment of all? Jesus himself said, love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with everything that you've got. As we show our love for our family and for one another and to our neighbor, that is the way that we can show our love for God. That's why we are encouraged to continue to love God and loving other people. And the next one, the last command here in verse 17 is to respect the king. So that's why the fourth obedient, the fourth command here is to desire to be an outstanding citizen. Yes, to desire, we need to desire to be an outstanding citizen. Not to receive a reward, not to be famous, not to have many followers. But for us, again, I'm reminding you, for the Lord's sake, we need to exemplify, we need to desire to be an outstanding citizen here in Australia and anywhere you are. Because what we are right now, what we are pursuing is pursuing to glorify God in everything that we do. And here, respecting the king, even the king during their time, the time of Peter, they are, the king or the emperor, are not worthy to follow. And yet, we have seen it that even though they are not good king, God has appointed them. And Jesus himself said to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and render to God the things that are God's. I just want you to imagine with me, what if, let's say, right now you are in maybe a COVID-19 free zone, but just imagine that the Christians around the world, or maybe the Christians there in Hobart, are exemplifying this kind of love, this kind of attitude, respecting other people, respecting one another, loving their family, loving one another, and loving God, and respecting or desiring to be a citizen, an outstanding citizen. Imagine that the reporter will go there and interview each member of Hobart, and then asking them, what is the reason why you are so popular here in Hobart? Why is it that the neighbors are saying many good things about you, that they put you in a high regard? It is because of our love. It is because of our obedience to the king or to the prime minister or to the law. It is being an outstanding Christian, not just citizen. Remember, we are just passing through. We are not of this world, but we are a man or woman on a mission. And maybe you'll be asking or wondering, okay, in what way? How are we going to who are the example, a good example of being a good citizen or being an obedient child of God? Because Peter himself was challenged by the Lord when he was asked, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And Peter, do you love me? He asked Peter three times because the Lord wants to show Peter that Jesus himself loves him, because Jesus has proven his love for you and for me. And Jesus himself has proven his love for Peter. But how about Peter? So how about you? How are we going to, what's the pattern? Who can we copy? Peter is a good example of how he has changed, how God transformed him. But I believe in our passage in front of us is a good example. Because look at this in verse 21. It says here, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered. He is your example. Jesus Christ is our ultimate example, and you must follow Him, and you must follow His footsteps. So what did Jesus do? And Peter has summarized what he has given us in the last three verses or four verses that I'm going to read. Jesus' example is this. He never sinned, exemplifying that Jesus obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ obeyed the Father, even though unto the point of death. Jesus never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threatened revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. It is a good thing for us when we were being treated unfairly. We will just say, Lord, I'm casting my care to you, all my cares to you. I know that you are a fair God, that you are able to protect me from this unfair treatment. And then Jesus himself has personally carried our sin in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds we are healed. Once you are like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. We have this perfect example. Jesus is our model, that for the sake of the Lord, we can be an obedient children of God. We can exemplify this kind of life. We can express our love for God. That's why when you ask me, when people ask me, why are you still in the ministry, Jim? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you still preaching the Word of God? Because I believe that this is one of the best example or for me to express my love and my obedience to the Lord, my gratitude to Him. I want to be obedient because Jesus is my perfect example, and for His name's sake, I want to show to the world that my Lord and my Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to be like Him. How about you? I know that you love God. I know that you love Jesus. Why don't you trust and obey Him? Because we know that God has given us the example, the privilege to be like Him, to be an obedient, or maybe to be an excellent citizen here in this world, even though this world is not our own, our home, and yet we are a man, a woman on a mission. May God continue to bless you, and may God continue to use you for His glory and for His honor in the power of the Holy Spirit. Take care, and God bless you. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be part of your service this morning.